Hello, everybody, and I give you a special WrestleMania welcome to Radio Radar, episode 132. I'm your host, Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with...
Maxwell McGee.
Anthony Snyder.
And we have two special guests. Sorry, I mistimed that a little, but we have two special guests this week. One through Skype, we have...
David Roberts.
Hey, you're our regular old features editor, and you did a big preview this week that we're going to be talking a lot about, right?
Yes, that is correct.
It's like, not at all. We're going to kill it.
No,
we're
going to
kill
know
it right here.
When we start talking about it in the second segment, you'll just be like, whatever.
Pass.
Let's talk about something else. And then we also have a special guest of our newest intern. Introduce yourself to the listeners.
I'm the new intern, Robert Soon.
Woo!
Hi.
Yeah.
Well, so
when was the last time we had an intern?
I think it is like been six or 9 months.
Haven't had one since I've
I guess it was Tony. Tony was our last intern like last summer. The time really flew. But so Robert, any like what's your background? Where are you from?
I'm a Cal State East Bay student right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Studying communications.
And what made you apply to be an intern at Games Radar?
Sophia did a presentation in my journalism class.
What?
Oh, wow. Nice.
What did she talk about?
She didn't say anything
she
about
didn't
doing
anything
this
about
stuff.
That. Did you heckle her? Did you heckle her?
Not really.
What was it about? What was the presentation about?
About what she did after college, because it's my previous professor. So.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting. Oh, you're welcome to the team. And how many days a week are you here?
3 days a week.
Wow, okay. Cool. So Wednesday, Friday, and
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah. All right, that's pretty good. All right, well, yeah, I did not get to meet Robert on his first day because I did my work from home day on my second work from home day on Wednesday this week. So it's good to meet you. I gave him a long presentation on the CMS, but
it was enthralling.
It's so weird to have to do it in front of everybody. Like, I guess you guys all get to listen for an hour as I tell the basics of CMS. I'm also always worried with those things because I think I'm going to say, like, something that's totally wrong that I've been thinking is true the whole time. I'll be like
breaking.
I'll just say, like, well, then you just delete this code. I mean, it doesn't do anything.
Really,
and then immediately, like, you'll walk over, like, no, that you've been breaking the site for months. It's been you. Dave, just wave at the camera to let us know if you have a point, and we will make sure to get you in because it's just in case we're talking over. Dave, where are you at again?
Just north of Seattle.
All right,
we're moving to a new place next week, so we're finally getting we're getting our nice little foothold here in the city after living in Phoenix for so long. So it's been a long time coming, but I'm glad to finally.
That's right. The last year has been a big to do for you. Like, you moved from Phoenix and had a kid and
lots of drama. So it's I'm glad things are going to be quieting down.
That's good. That's good.
As much as they possibly can with two screaming children. Mm-hmm. So.
Let's see. Yeah, as I mentioned, this week's exciting for me too, guys, because this is WrestleMania weekend right here. It has begun. It's in Santa Clara, which is technically the Bay Area, but that's like...
It's South Bay.
Yeah, it's like an hour. It's an hour drive from here.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, and getting there from... I can only get there with a friend who's like a zip car. Like, we're just driving down together. Actually, so tonight... You're going to take a zip car down to the San Jose University where they're having one show in their arena.
Oh, wait, what? They're doing pre...
Yeah, they do. Oh, man. So they basically set up... WWE sets up what is basically WWE Comic-Con during WrestleMania. It's called Access with two X's, A-X-S-E-S-S.
Of course it is.
Gotta be.
They're that extreme.
Should have triple X's, but that's honest.
And so, it's like basically their own comic convention. They're on Comic-Con, except also in the same city, there's this competing thing called WrestleCon, which gets all these independent dudes. Everybody who's not signed with WWE then goes to WrestleCon to, like, hawk their wares and stuff, and they just show up wherever the WrestleMania is.
Do they have a Con-V-Con rumble at any point, like out in the parking lot?
Some backyard wrestling.
Well, I've definitely read that WWE, like, is kind of doing some slightly shady things at the next where they're hosting the next WrestleMania because they want to be like, hey, we'll come to Dallas, but don't rent any spaces to anybody that's competing with wrestling. Like, because they don't, they spend all this money on WrestleMania. They don't like people piggybacking on their dollars, you know?
Yeah.
They want it all for them. But so, down in Santa Clara, starting on Thursday, they started Access. And so Friday night, they're doing a big show of NXT. I'm actually wearing a t-shirt of my NXT favorites underneath my collared shirt here. And then Saturday night is the Hall of Fame, but I'm not attending that. I'm just going to watch it live on a stream. And then Sunday night, I'm taking a bar bus down to Santa Clara to see WrestleMania in the big 49ers stadium.
Nice. So,
me and 68,000 other people watching watching it live.
Like, I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but a bar bus to go see WrestleMania sounds like the greatest day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all worried.
Is a bar bus exactly what it sounds like? I've not heard that term
Well,
before.
So it's a beer bus, uh-huh. a drinking bus. Like, yeah, it's like kind of what you'd get for a bar crawl, I think it is, of just like, you know, we were talking about, well, we could, me and my friend said, well, we could, you know, rent a car together and one of us will just drive down because none of us own a car that four people can fit in. So then a friend of ours said, like, well, we could do that. Or at this bar in the Mission, it's just like $50 a person. All you can drink, drive down and back. And so you can just get super drunk at WrestleMania.
You
don't
have to worry about driving.
Yeah,
right,
you don't have to worry about
nice.
It. Though, I mean, I will have to go back to work the next day.
Right.
But, and also, like,
work from home day, maybe.
Well, it is a plus that doing it on the West Coast means that they have to do it earlier. Like, they have to start WrestleMania on, it has to be at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock East Coast time. So it's going to start at 4, and the whole thing will be over by 8 p.m.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can be home by 10 o'clock.
I went to SmackDown long, long time ago, and I was surprised. They're like, yeah, it starts at 4. I was like, 4 o'clock? Why does it start at 4? I was like, I watch it on TV at 8. It's like, yeah, it's. Didn't work like that. They shoot it super early. I was like, oh, okay. Well,
where they do it? At the Cow Palace? Or yeah, it's where they've did it in the past. See, I know this much about WWE history, about where their regular venues were in this area. But they don't come here that much because we're not a big wrestling town like the Bay Area isn't. Like, anyway, I just wanted to share my excitement for WrestleMania, guys. And also to tell you that I had a really awesome interview with non-WWE Japanese superstar Kenny Omega about his how he is the coolest pro wrestler that every gamer should get to know. Like, he is the ultimate gaming pro wrestler. Like, he has tons of gaming moves in his moveset. He is a hardcore dude who, like, was talking on Evo level skills about Street Fighter, and he was even just name checking dudes. They're like, oh yeah, this high ranking dude, like this. I don't remember their names because I'm not in that scene, but he just knew them. And they, like, shared pictures of me, like, well, here's me hanging out at Capcom's home base in Osaka. And I was like, wow. Like, so yeah, just read all about him. He is a really cool dude. Like, and go read it on the site, guys. But all right, let's get into the top seven, why don't we, eh? Unfortunately, I wish Lucas was here because he wrote it, but he's been having some car trouble. He's had some leaking coolant.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Mm. That means overheat.
There. Yeah, we made him. So he drove us to, he drove people to Tan Fran yesterday. He drove us to lunch yesterday. People don't need to know what Tan Fran is. I'm only confusing people by naming that. He drove us to lunch, and when we got there, he's like, oh, I need to get more coolant. So we went to Target and bought it, was pouring it in. And he's like, man, it's taking a lot to fill up. And then Lorenzo looked under his car. He's like, there's a puddle under your car. He's like, yeah.
I was going to say, are you sure you didn't fill up his car with, like, blue Hawaiian punch or something? And that's what caused
it. Gotcha.
But in Lucas's place, I will talk about the top seven games that were doomed to fail but still got made.
Because by golly.
All right, so number seven, Self-Defense Training Camp for the Xbox 360. Mm. I did not even know this one existed.
I only saw a screenshot.
Does it have Kinect?
Please, it's
all Kinect.
It's an all Kinect game.
You don't get any other options.
So, you know, it's I think it was aimed at women because, like, anybody can use a self-defense training class. But the screenshot has a woman, like, kneeing a dude in the face in it. But I don't know how well they can teach you self-defense with, especially the original Kinect of watching you move and be like, oh, that was a good kick to the groin.
50 points.
It should have come with like a lime green mannequin as a peripheral that you could position and practice kneeing in the face over and over.
Why not? They put basketballs in Kinect games, so why not? It comes with the real basketball.
Jeez. Remember they promised that, like, you can scan your skateboard and they'll be in the game. I don't think that ever happened. Like,
Tony Hawk, right? Oh, the Velocity Girl speech. I do remember that. Yep.
Good times.
Oh, good old Jay Allard popping a squad on E3 conference floor.
I think, he just set down his legs and just crossed legs, like, let me rap with you. We were both going to say it.
Like, take a knee there, champ.
Like self-defense training, I think is just one of the top most useless Kinect games. There were very few dedicated Kinect games. Like, none of them really were a big hit, I'd say. And this one is just like you could do jumping jacks in front of your Kinect, and I think you'd still be pretty all right. Mm-hmm. But this one, you really do need an actual living person to tell you you're doing it right. All right, number six. Where's Waldo? Or as he's known in other countries, Wally. Like, come on, man.
We had a German
or Walter
Waldo calendar. Was it Walter?
I think it might have been
something
Walter.
Like that.
I think Lucas took.
My German's
calendar.
A little rusty, considering I don't know any.
Just a little bit.
Just slightly.
Yeah. So
is this game basically you just stare at? Like, here's a screen with some stuff on it. Look at it. See if you can identify Waldo. How does it know when you've identified Waldo? You just hit
you
the
move
button.
The,
you're like,
move.
Oh. Move
so it's got an him. NES game, and that's the real problem, as Lucas pointed it out. That the Waldo books are the franchise of Waldo is known for very involved drawings that make it kind of challenging to find Waldo. And also you're spotting a bunch of little jokes in there.
Or there'll be like some jackass, like an old man, but he's got the Waldo shirt. So you get all excited. Oh, there's a...
Fake out.
Son of a bitch.
It's like, they have the scarf, they have the hat.
Also, do you remember that one... I remember at the end of one Waldo book, it was... This is the ultimate Waldo one where it's only Waldo's.
Yes.
And they're like, but this Waldo's missing a sock and he's holding a cane.
A sock.
And so, it was.
It's next level. That's next level Waldo.
Nobody else remembers that? Oh, man, people are talking to me on HipChat. I hope they stop talking.
It's because I did not turn that off. Talking about Waldo out there.
They had all that in the books. The NES and its 8-bit graphics was not ready to deal with that digital complexity. So basically you had what amounted to like stick figures that were all one of five colors.
Yep.
And one of them was obviously Waldo. And like, so it was just
there
like,
there aren't any layers either. So it's like, it's just like a bunch of like pictures on a straight line.
Icons just lined up. And it's just like, can you recognize which one of these is the Waldo one?
It's like, no, I remember.
Waldo? Damn.
I remember seeing like, going to the video rental stores and stuff because we had those back when, I'm old. seeing that and going like, oh, that looks weird. Like, and I'm like seven, I think, or six at the time. And like, that's weird. But I have books, so I don't need that. I'm going to get Mega Man. This is dumb. Like, I was six and I knew that this was like, don't get this game. This looks bad.
The critic in you was born.
Did you guys remember when like there was even the Waldo cartoon? Like, I remember.
It was a cartoon? I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
Because there's parts of everything back then, but yeah.
It was like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego cartoon?
Oh, now, I remember that.
Yeah, that I remember.
That was good.
That was real.
Though I prefer the game show to the cartoon.
Did you like Rockapella. The original game show, or did you like the Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego?
No, the Rockapella, the original one.
The original.
Listen up, Gumshoes.
That's right. You got to get the loot, the warrant.
And the crook.
And I think you got they gave you educational prizes too. It wasn't just money. It was like Encyclopedia Britannica.
It was like a trip to like depending on where the country was. Like you or no, it was like you would get a trip to anywhere in the U.S. or something like that, and go see a bunch of museums or whatever boring stuff PBS was hawking.
So an educational trip.
No, okay, number five, Dance Dance Revolution GB for the Game Boy Color.
Is that real?
Oh, it's super real.
All right, so...
Oh, hell.
It's the realest.
It's DDR without dancing, and it's...
Love it.
And also, the songs are terrible,
mm-hmm.
because they're just digital approximations of it. And the characters just stand still. It's like right, left. You're just moving the D-pad to make them dance. Like
one long QuickTime event.
Yeah. There have been other dancing approximations of like this. I recall there was an American Idol singing game that was really just like tapping things to the music as well. But
like Britney's Dance Beat.
Yeah,
my fiance loves that game. I have no idea why. Like, but you know, there it is.
Who decided that making dance games for handhelds that don't involve dancing was a good idea? That's what I'm just confused about.
Like, you're missing the best part of this whole game. It's a thing that Lucas has since ordered, but it came with a peripheral. It came with a little attachment add-on that you would clip to the front of your Game Boy to cover up the buttons and the D-pad, and then it gave you the four, like, DDR arrows.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then you just...
And then he's just shaking his head.
you just hit that with your giant meat hooks, and yeah,
horrible.
All right. Number four, Fighter Within for the Xbox One. One of those Xbox One launch games that... I kind of pity Fighter Within because it was developed when... Microsoft was probably telling everybody, oh no, the Kinect is indispensable. Like, everyone's going to have the Kinect with this thing, right, and they'll be forced to use it. So they'll, of course, play your game. By the time it comes out, okay, don't need the Kinect. Sorry, we said that. And
JK.
Though that wouldn't have made Fighters Within any better.
Wait, like, you don't need the Kinect to play that?
No, you do, but
general.
Yeah, remember when it was first announced, it was like, you can't unplug the Kinect. Like, it's always watching you.
Yeah,
like,
it's Hal.
Yeah, just deal with it, guys. But so Fighters Within is just another one of the... It's a fighting game where two people are just swinging around. You're not fighting somebody else in real life, and then it makes it appear on the screen. It's just you swing a punch, other person swings a punch. And I think the weirdest... approximation Lucas mentioned was that you have to like cross your arms to throw somebody. You're just like, cross, throw.
Just like in real life.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to throw you.
Mm. Oh, whoa, I'm being thrown.
And of course, the hallmark of any good fighting game are just like totally blatant ethnic stereotypes for characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, how else are you going to define people?
Like, fun for the whole family.
Like, yeah.
Give me kilt.
Apparently it looks good at least, but meh. Yeah. Number three, Walk It Out for the Wii.
What?
So Konami was getting into the walking, to the fitness craze of
the walking
on the
craze.
Wii.
Say what
the
it
walking
is.
Craze.
The way, you know, it's been sweeping the nation. People are loving it.
Walking around.
I think they built it to be one of those cheaper games that like you don't need. You want this, but you don't want to pay. You want an exercise game for your Wii, but you don't want to pay $90 for the balance board. So this is a balance board free that just comes with a DDR dance pad, basically. And you then walk in place, and your character marches along on the screen, and it's
and
like the
die.
Most empty thing ever. Like, that's all it is. Like,
is that really all it is?
Or you can, well, you have to swing the nunchuck and Wii remote at the same time too. But yeah, it's just. Character walks and you're walking. Like, basically.
Do you walk anywhere interesting?
From the screenshot, it looked like just like a park or like a nature trail.
Like a field.
Because it never turned dark and then, like, the criminals come out.
It is Konami. It'd be good if, like, Silent Hill showed up.
There should be, like, meteors raining down and explosions and you're walking it out. Mm.
You know, the Wii just had so many awful games
really
when it was at its peak. It was just a bad scene. It was bad. And. Games like Walk It Out are like the worst offenders of it, I would say. Like, well, there was like, I actually think there were so many bad games on the Wii. Like, Walk It Out wouldn't even be in the top 20 or the bottom 20, I guess would be another way to put it. All right, number two, Beer Pong! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
For the PS3. God,
gotta throw another exclamation
point. All those
people
sitting around thinking, man, you know what I'd love to do right now? Play some beer pong, but I don't want to drink all that beer. hold on.
It's just like the dancing thing.
Right.
Like, I want to play a dancing game, but I don't want to dance.
Oh, thank God there's an alternative just for me.
And the thing is with games is that, you know, if you buy a copy of Madden, you probably don't have 13 people or whatever to get a decent football game going. So with like Madden makes sense, but with beer pong, it's like it would be cheaper and probably less sad to buy some solo cups and some beer and some ping pong balls and just play by yourself.
Right, right.
And then you have the beer when you're all done and you haven't wasted $60 plus move controllers on this beer pong game.
Beer pong with the wall, couldn't you just bounce it off the?
Well, as Lucas pointed out in the article, the point of beer pong is to get drunk and make friends and have a good party. You are by yourself.
This eliminates all that.
Yeah, you're by yourself. You don't drink and you don't meet anybody.
Not even online. You can't play people online.
You know, I didn't see that. He said that there's also ways like characters can distract you in ways that won't distract you. Like one is like the female character will like adjust her top because she's like in a bikini and you're like, oh whoa,
yep.
Like.
It's like this game's rated C for teen. You're not taking that off. I'm not looking.
Yeah. Focus. And number one, Toilet Tycoon, which is just about building. It's really just a series of spreadsheets, but it's about building your own pay toilet empire. And
toilet.
I seriously thought Lucas was kidding in the article when he said like you'll like hire people to mess up the stalls of your competition.
Wow.
Like it's who
coming soon to HBO from the makers of Boardwalk Empire comes.
Is that a thing? It's
a spin-off show.
Pay toilet?
Well, like, yeah, there are pay toilets.
It's like, oh, you can't use the toilet unless you buy something, but they're just like straight up like if put you a have order like, in and take a shit.
Yep.
Yeah, you clearly haven't been to the big city and seen the pay toilets.
I haven't seen these pay toilets.
Some people live in those.
I'm just a humble country boy.
Yeah. Well, I'd heard that. Well, man, I thought of trying this a couple times I visited Tokyo where it's like I could spend $100 on this hotel room tonight or I could just find one of those Wi-Fi like internet. They have like basically a private internet room. That's just like you pay $50 and you get it all night. And like technically, you'd have no bed or shower, but you'd save a bit of money.
What about those tubes that you can sleep in at the train station?
I met somebody in Tokyo who actually stayed in one of those. Like, all right, quick diversion here, guys, about traveling Tokyo. That anytime you meet another English speaker, even if you've never met them before and you would never be friendly to them in real life or even like talk to them, you meet like, oh my God, hey, how are you doing? And I met this guy named Fahir in Osaka, and he was like this Canadian dude who works for Coca-Cola in London. He had a really interesting life story. And he told me, like, he just on a whim was like, I'm going to go to Japan, visit all these places. And so he said he went to Osaka but didn't have, like, a room ready for him. And so he
decided to wing it.
He was like, the only places available are the capsule hotels. So I figured, yeah, this will be fun. And, like, and he didn't speak Japanese either. And so he said then all of a sudden I met him at a second place, like, 3 days later, just out of the blue. Well, again, it's like, like you're surrounded by Japanese people everywhere. If you see anybody who's not Japanese, like your eyes are immediately drawn to them. I'm like, whoa, if somebody's not Japanese. Hey, it's that guy. I know him. And then he said that he said it was similar to going to jail, he thought. When you start there, like, they're like, okay, check in, leave us your bags. Here are your pajamas.
Well,
change,
they strip them down
in.
And like hose them off.
No, but they do make you. Okay. They force you to change into the pajamas and wear their slippers. I'm like, you can't.
How do you take your stuff in there with you.
You can't bring your bags in there with you. You got to check your bags there because it's just a tube in a wall. And apparently they don't want you sleeping in your own clothes there. Or they just give you like pajamas instead. Like,
here's the delousing powder. Throw that on you.
Spray you down with Lysol.
It is an interesting country. I love. Oh God. And talking to Kenny Omega this week. Let me plug that one more time.
It's coming up.
Talking to Kenny Omega again this week just reminded me again. I'm like, God, I want to be there. Like he lives there half the year. Like and works out of there. And like he's fluent in the language. Like he learned Japanese to play the mother games partially. Like
that sounds like somebody I know's dream. Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, Toilet Tycoon, crap.
Literally.
All right, so that's the top seven games that were doomed to fail but still got made. And we have a new top seven every Monday on GamesRadar.com. Be sure to check those out. As long as I'm telling you about things we do with regularity, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 3:30 to 5-ish Pacific time.
That's the official time.
That's when we do a Twitch stream all those days. And like this week, we had a lot of fun ones. I did the WrestleMania. I did all the WrestleMania matches on WWE 2K15 with one Chris Hoffman and MacLife. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Dave, you do the Tuesday one. What'd you do this week?
Yeah, we usually play Heroes of the Storm. I wasn't there last week, so Connor was just playing Binary Domain, I think. But yeah, usually we play Heroes of the Storm. It's fun. You know, if you are into that game and you actually want to come and play with the Games Radar crew, me and Connor, you can hit me up when we do the stream and we'll get you in. It's pretty easy, so yeah. I mean, the game's not easy, but getting you in on a game and losing with us is pretty easy.
Cool. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it'll be the current event segment with news, previews, and some big reviews.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we are back. You know, maybe we should just keep in that thing that we just talked about there. But we'll see.
That was a fun interlude.
But all right, so news, guys. Oh, also, yeah, no music this week because Ashley is away. We're minus Ashley and Lucas and Lorenzo. Like, this is a lonely office today.
A-L-L.
And it's too bad because Lucas and Ashley could both help us out in the reviews, but we'll do okay.
We'll make it
okay.
Up.
But yeah, okay. Ba-ba-bump, ba-ba-bump. Do-do-do-do-do-do. News, yeah. All right.
Sting.
I think the biggest news this week was that Arkham Knight got delayed 3 whole weeks. To June 23rd.
I'm always okay with big AAA games like this getting delayed.
This feels like this is going to be Rocksteady's like magnum opus, yeah. And they want to get it right.
I
so
can only imagine.
You know what? You can delay it again. Yeah. You can delay it till till spring 2016, like Uncharted.
Don't do that.
It'll be good.
I don't know if I want to delay that much, but I think I. If I were to give my hot take on it, I think this is one of those signs of like everybody noticed the crap that went down with pretty much every major release last fall. That this time they're like, we can put it out now and it will be broken and we can hope that we'll patch it in that week, or we can just put it out 3 weeks later and just not even bother with a patch and like ship a finished thing and like
yeah and. Like, in June, too, it's not like they're going to have much competition. I mean, like, yeah, because E3 is going on that week. And
I'm really excited that it's not like it's happening the week after E3, right?
Yeah.
So I was worried I'd have to, like, try to cram in Batman as much as possible in the like, week before E3. But though I'm also just hoping we'll end up with, like, enough early copies that we can all just have beaten it by, like, June 20. Well, I guess now before June 23rd, just like, yeah, we're done with Arkham Knight. Yawn.
You know what would be great is if during E3, Rocksteady just goes, we know it comes out, we said it comes out next week, but it's out now.
Oh, man.
I love that.
Just imagine if at the Microsoft that. Or Sony event, they're just like, it's out right now, but only on this system.
I love that. It's so great. Even if it's not the one I own.
And also, combined with this, were rumors that a remaster of the other Arkham games, just the Rocksteady ones, City and Asylum, they're going to be coming. And
I have to believe this is true.
I believe
Yeah.
Magnum Opus.
Yeah, that's just money on the table. I don't know. They would never not do this.
Though it seems backwards to do the new game and then the remasters instead of remasters and then the new game. Like, that doesn't make as much sense to me. But
world of game scheduling.
You'll have the collection.
Bizarre. Yeah. They'll just
the trilogy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe in the fall, they'll just be like, it'll just be the package trilogy of, like, to sell to people who, just to get Arkham Knight back in people's vision when it's the holiday season.
And we'll just forget Origins ever existed.
Oh, maybe they'll throw, wait, did Rocksteady didn't do Blackgate, did they?
No. That's
no.
It, yeah.
Okay, that also didn't happen.
Like Dave was talking, who else here beat Arkham Origins?
I did. I had to play through half of that game all over again because it crashed and broke my save file.
Hey. Wow.
I didn't touch that game because I was so scared of the crashes.
You know, I didn't have that bad luck. I reviewed it for computerandvideogames.com.
Hey.
And I liked it okay at the time. I gave it a 7, which I felt was the right score for it. And now I don't feel like I've gotten any stronger opinions on it because it is just like it's a marking time Batman game. Like, it's not special. It's just like, yeah, we had to put out a Batman, so we did.
Well, the thing with Origins, though, is that, like, the people who got the game before the game came out, like, they didn't have any problems with, like, it was buggy, but it wasn't too bad. But, like, since I reviewed it for a smaller site before I started writing for you guys, and the day one patch actually broke a lot of stuff. Like, Jim Sterling had a lot of the same problems I did.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Like, stuff not working, my game just crashing twice in the same exact spot. The second time I thought I would lost my save file again.
That is one of the craziest things ever. Like, I feel like I never hear about that, of like the patch breaks it and like, oh, it's way more often you get a game early. Like, it's happened with Alien Insurrection. Mm-hmm. We got the game early and it came with like a long list of things of like, if you see this, that's getting patched. If you see this, that's getting patched. Like, they knew it had problems that hopefully would get patched out, and I think were. But meanwhile, like, Batman worked fine, and then I blame the multiplayer. That's what I blame.
Oh, you're talking about Alien Isolation?
Yeah, Alien Isolation.
Oh, yeah,
sorry.
I couldn't craft stuff. I played through like 25% of the game, and I was like, I can't craft anything except for medkit. I can't craft anything. I was like, this is real survival, I guess.
I will say Arkham Origins has a good story. I think it really comes together in the end. The gameplay is okay, but I came to really like the story at the end. Like, it had some really good moments, and I think Troy Baker is a very good Joker.
Oh, yeah. I was very surprised. Like, I didn't think that they could find someone to replace Mark Hamill, but Troy Baker was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right. In the other news, there was a Toe Jam and Earl Kickstarter.
What?
And it has already met its goal, or it met its goal of, like, close to the last minute. And somebody actually paid $10,000. Like, one person, one donor gave $10,000 to make Toe Jam and Earl become reality.
Like, so I like Toe Jam and Earl. I don't like it that much, though. I don't.
Well, Toe Jam and Earl is also a weird situation because I bet you're thinking, oh, so Sega did this? No. Toe Jam and Earl was a very odd deal that Sega made them like mascots for the Genesis in America, at least, but they were made by this other guy who owns the rights to the characters. And so that's why it took them forever to make a Toe Jam and Earl 3, because they had to pay this guy money to make a third one. And they finally did, and nobody cared. And
wasn't it on like Xbox?
It was an Xbox.
And I was like, what are you doing? But yeah.
And they added a third character to it, and it was just like,
no, they didn't. Yeah. There was never a third.
Okay, sure.
You mean Poochie?
Only one and two.
Yeah, it just never happened. You're just erasing it from your mind.
Never happened.
So yeah, we'll see how this goes. We'll see. In other Kickstarter news, you guys see that like the Super Troopers 2 Kickstarter happened, and that they hit their first goal within a day. Like within a day, they got $2.5 million. So. Though, I mean, really, like, what if they get, like, $10 million? Like, how different will the film look? I can't see it look all that different.
I heard that movie was 14 years old, like, the first one, and, like, instantly dated myself. Just, like, I felt so old.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Things from the early 2000s, to me, still feel recent. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know that that album that... like that Postal Service album. I'm hip. I still listen to that. Like, oh, that had a 10-year anniversary last year. Ooh, boy. I'm not so cool. And lastly, just a quick update on one Hideo Kojima. All we know is what we don't know about him.
Isn't it always with Kojima?
Yeah, some people are still thinking like, oh, it's a conspiracy or it's just a thing. Right. Like, I don't think so, guys. Like, so the biggest, Kojima has gone silent and has not said or tweeted anything. And he was like one of the busiest tweeters of all time.
Right.
He has not said or tweeted anything in weeks. And like his press release from last week, his quote of the press release sounded like the most like PR massaged thing of all time. Like said, like he has a gun to his head where he's talking about, like, we're trying to make the Phantom Pain the greatest game yet. Please look forward to it. Like that's how it read to me. That's pretty much what he said.
He's like, still, please support the game still. And I would say, okay, well, maybe for him, support it, because you know he did work really hard on it. But
yeah, and he wants to, and now it is going to be like he knows it's the end now. Like he knows this is his last. Like he doesn't have a choice to come back to Metal Gear. It seems so. Now he gets to choose. Now he's got like, yeah, this is my last expression with Metal Gear. Like,
but
this
Henry,
is my...
what about Silent Hills?
I don't know, guy. We actually there's a really good essay on the site about it right now. Potential of Silent Hills happening. And to add to it, silence from Kojima, and he was supposed to have, there's only in Japan, but there's a Kojima podcast, a Kojima production podcast, like every other week. Came time for this week. No episode. We'll let you know soon, later. The podcast has been delayed indefinitely. So, again, just another time where Kojima could have said something, anything, and it sounds like he just has a – it sounds like he's not allowed to talk at all right now. Like, it's weird.
He might be in a – have a gag order.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get the money from your hard work,
you need
to go into silence.
Yeah, I mean, it could just – it could be as simple as, like, you're not getting, like, a bonus for this game if you talk about
That's
this.
That's like
so
that Conan
getting...
thing with – when the Tonight Show had to come out, they're just like, yeah, we're just bringing them back. But you said we'll give you all this money. Just
go away.
Shut up for like 8 months.
You can't say, don't say anything about this.
Yep, don't say anything.
Those old non-disclosure agreements, guys.
I have a feeling like a year from now, we're going to get some huge cover story somewhere where Kojima like sits down
all.
And lays it all out.
Where would he do it? I wonder.
Vice.
No, I'm just kidding. He could. Nah, it will be Jeff Keighley. Duh.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Jeff Keighley will do it, and he'll do it as like an original, like interactive magazine he'll sell on Amazon.
It'll be an episode. It'll be an hour with Kojima.
It'll be like the
in cigar suits.
I bet if we could.
I was thinking it'd be like the Serial podcast guy.
Yeah.
Like, a whole investigation aspect to it. And
the Law and Order soundtrack.
I bet if we got Jeff Keighley in here and gave him some truth serum, we'd be like, you know what's going on. Just tell us. Like,
it's an alternate reality game that Konami has kicked off where.
I don't get starstruck in the press room that much anymore, but when I did see him, I was like, oh wow, Jeff Keighley, wow, he's in here, he's in the press at GDC. Like, I was like, he's in the press room, what the hell is he doing here? Like, I guess he's press. Like, even when I saw like Adam Sessler smoking, I was like, oh, Adam Sessler smoking, I see that. But walking by Jeff Keighley, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have outed Adam Sessler as a smoker. Whatever. Hey, Robert. Yeah. We haven't given you much chance to talk. Are you a Metal Gear fan?
You surprised that Adam Sessler's a smoker? First question.
A little bit.
Okay.
Metal Gear. Are you a Metal Gear fan? Have you played them?
I played them.
All of them?
Not all.
Okay.
Which one did you play first?
3.
Ooh. See, now I like that.
Your favorite?
I started with 2 and it kind of screwed me up. But 3, 3 was really good.
Yeah, it was good.
What's your favorite part of it? Is it the gameplay or the crazy stories?
Was it the ladder? Was it climbing up the ladder?
That was pretty good.
All right. Well, then it's time. Now it's time for Dave Roberts to take the scene, take the mic, and tell us all about his big preview from this week that was like over a week in the making, this one.
Pass.
No.
Great. All right. Let's move on. Wait, he's going to do the intro song.
Preview. Preview. Sheepity beepity boop.
Sorry, Ashley. All right.
So I last week, God, it feels like so long ago, but it was only last week. I got to play about 5 or so hours of Splatoon. By the way, like before I even start talking about that, like before they set us up with the stations and stuff, Reggie Fils-Aimé just kind of like struts into the room. It's like, you might have heard. Yeah, like you guys might have heard some stuff. Like we had a pretty mild morning today because
that was the day of the NX and the mobile thing, right?
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, you know, today we're focusing on Splatoon. We're not taking any questions about the mobile initiative or NX. Just like, honestly, I feel like nobody at Nintendo of America really knows anything.
I think that was a total surprise to, not to Reggie, but I bet to everybody below Reggie, nobody had any idea.
Like, yeah. So he comes in and tells us that, and then he leaves and disappears off onto his private jet into Nintendo Land or wherever he goes.
That's pretty cool, though, that he at least showed up to be like, yeah, no comment, guys. Don't waste your time asking all of you asking the same dozen questions about this and not Splatoon. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they've been really getting behind Splatoon, so I think they were probably a little bothered that it's overshadowing Splatoon, all this news about the next system in mobile games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There were a bunch of press people up at Nintendo HQ, and, like, I live up here, so it was just a quick drive for me, so that's pretty cool. We got to hang out, and I played about an hour of the story mode, and about 4 hours of the normal. It's called Turf Wars, which is kind of the general multiplayer mode. And then we played a few hours of Splat Zones, which is one of the ranked mode matches, which actually won't be available when the game launches. Like, in order to play ranked matches, you have to be at least level 10. And Nintendo, I guess, is going to wait until enough people hit level 10. Before they make those available.
That's interesting. So, in case people don't know, like, Splatoon is an original series from Nintendo that's like their approach to a squad-based third-person shooter, right?
Yeah, it's instead of using machine guns and bullets, you've got super soakers and squirt guns, and you're shooting. You're a squid, and you're shooting ink at other squids and octopi. They're called Octarians in the single player. So you're a squid, you have ink, you're shooting it. It's really brightly colored and really just really energetic. Like it feels kind of like I got kind of the like a Jet Grind Radio vibe from it. Just like lots of skate parks and neon colors and hip hop beats and stuff, which is pretty cool. It's simplified in some ways. Like, you don't have bullets. You just have ink. You have this ink tank, and you can refill it whenever you want. Like, I don't get the physics of how this works, because you're shooting the ink, and then you go in the ink, and you refill your ink with more to shoot. But don't think about that, because it's a ton of fun. Basically, the goal of the multiplayer matches isn't so much to kill, kill as much as one kills in a Nintendo game, to defeat your opponents, as it is to cover as much ground as possible with ink. Mm-hmm. So, like, this makes it really good for people who aren't so good at shooters.
You can because, paint like, the walls red or yellow or whatever.
Yeah, because, like, even if you miss, you're still getting paint on the ground, which is helping your team. Like, yeah, it sucks that if you get knocked out of the round, you have to wait, but it's also really easy to hop back into the game, because you can just, you look on your gamepad and you can see all of your teammates on it. You hit one of their icons and you just jump right to their position. So you can be right back in the game.
Yeah, that's so cool. I played it. Yeah. And you like shoot off like a rocket out of
like a squid rocket.
Yeah. I played it at E3 and I really enjoyed it. I was jealous that you got to play more of it, and definitely the ink, the painting the walls ink aspect of it, like, you're right, it kind of reminds me of how Mario Kart is. Everybody can have fun, like, everybody's got a chance kind of thing. Like, it's the same. Instead of it's just like, oh, who got the first headshot, huh, you're not as good with headshots, or you didn't throw a grenade right. Like, and also, like, the painting thing is good for the movement, too, because you can swim through your own paint or your own ink. I keep saying paint, but, right, you swim through your own paint and you go much faster than you – and you go slower when you walk on other people's paint, right?
Yeah, and you can use that to get up and over obstacles or get yourself to a better vantage point. So, like, you'll see these like, one of the maps that I have, there are a couple towers, like, in the middle of it, and they're a good place for snipers to perch. And what you do is you shoot your ink up alongside of the tower, and you just kind of swim right up to the top. And you can hang out there until someone takes you out or whatever. But, yeah, like, it's just – it's really intuitive. Like, Nintendo has always been really good at – teaching you how to play the game by playing the game, especially, like, ever since like with the Super Mario games, like Mario Galaxy and the Super Mario 3D games. And this seems to take a lot of cues from that, like, especially the single player, where they go, okay, so here's the thing where here are these sponges where if you shoot them, you can make them grow and jump on them to climb higher. Okay, so we'll teach you that. And then the next part, it's like, okay, so here's some sponges with a couple little tricks thrown in. So you have to try to jump up and over the sponges while, like, some people are shooting at you. And then by the end, it's like, okay, so now there are five people shooting at you. There are a bunch of sponges. You have to get across this gap without falling. And if the bad guys shoot the sponges shrink. So, like, each level kind of slowly teaches you different mechanics, very much like a Super Mario game. Like, it feels like – it does feel like a Super Mario shooter in that way. Mm-hmm. And I – think that's like it's
they
something
said
that I have
much, I think, right?
Yeah, like I haven't really seen anything quite like it yet, and it's so refreshing. Well, especially with shooters that are just so, I don't know, by this point it's like I feel like I've, you know, once you've shot one, you know, Nazi in the face, you've shot them all.
Yeah, it's definitely not as oppressive feeling as all those other shooters. And I think it's made by the EAD team at Nintendo, like EAD Tokyo, though it's a big group, so it's not like I don't think it is the exact team who makes 3D World, but
the guy, the head of it is the same guy who was head of the Animal Crossing series, and they worked on Wii Sports and
yes,
and Wii Music, I think. So
Egg-ichi?
So it's just
is it Egg-ichi?
Yeah, it's they've come a long way from Wii Music.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
And I got to interview them last year, and when I asked them if it was inspired by Super Mario Sunshine, they said no, but that, like, when the Super Mario Sunshine developers who work with them saw them making the game, like, they talked about how, oh, you can add paint, not just erase paint, but add paint. I wish we had that. I wish we had that back then. It was one of those cool insider Nintendo stories that I wish you got to hear more of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's cool. And it comes out in, what, May?
Yeah, it comes out May. There's not a firm release date yet. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to check it out. My only hope is that, like, you know, as we've seen from stuff like Titanfall and more recently Evolve, it's really hard to keep a multiplayer base continuing to play your game, especially on Wii U, like
on an install base as small as the Wii U.
Yeah, like I've played Call of Duty on the Wii U, and, you know, like Call of Duty is like the biggest shooter, and there are like 3,000 people playing that game like the week the game comes out.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Nintendo's definitely got an uphill battle here. But I think,
and it's a new, like, series, not based on anything else too. Like, mm-hmm. so it's a new game with a weird name. Like, but I hope that.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, I just hope, much like you, that Nintendo can find a place for it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. All right, so that was the big preview of the week, Splatoon. Are you guys excited?
I am excited for something.
I'm good. I'll try it out. I'll give it a shot.
I look forward to when we'll get a copy in the office so we can all just do, like, some... I'm guessing it has split-screen multiplayer as well as online, right?
They, when asked, they said that was an excellent question.
Excellent question.
Yeah,
we're not talking about that now. Like,
not able to confirm nor deny whether they're split screen.
That tells me they know
content. So, but yeah, we got to play. It's 8-player online, definitely.
Cool.
So.
All right, then it's time for the reviews. Now, unfortunately, nobody. Actually, that's not true. We have one of our reviewers here, Dave, did the review. So, before we get into what you did, though, Bloodborne is the big one this week. Ben Griffin reviewed it, and I wish Lucas played the crap out of it, and I'm really mad at him for not being here to talk about it. Like,
hey, I've been playing it too. So,
all right, well,
and you streamed it the other night.
Yes, I did. Yes, I beat the second boss live for our Games Radar audience.
So everybody's been enjoying Bloodborne. It's the newest game from the creators of Demon Souls. It's Demon's Souls, or is it?
Yes, okay. Demons with an apostrophe.
The souls possessed by a demon.
Yes.
And Dark Souls. This is the new game from FromSoftware. And it's confusing to talk about their games.
From Japan Studio, right?
But and it's directed by the Miyazaki who directed Demon's Souls and the first Dark Souls game. So this is like his new thing. While his B team was making Dark Souls 2, he was making this game. It's like the big Sony exclusive. Everybody's been waiting for it, and the reviews have been really positive for it. Right, and I mean, you've been enjoying it, right?
Yeah, rightly so. It's definitely like it is. Okay, so I have a very long history with the Souls games, wherein I buy one, I play it for an hour, and go, "Yeah, no, this is too hard," and then immediately sell it. It happened with every single one because, like, I did that with Demon's Souls, and then everyone's like talking about Dark Souls, so I buy Dark Souls, like, "Oh, I'll give this a shot." Nope, too hard, sell it. Yeah, Dark Souls 2 is out. Let's give this a shot. Nope, too hard. So I finally, like, I bought this one digitally, so I couldn't sell it.
Can't return it. I did the same thing.
Can't go back.
And, like, it's grabbing me in a way that the other ones haven't, just because the combat is so much more, it's so much faster and more aggressive. Like, you don't have a shield. There is a shield in the game, but it's a joke. Like, you're not supposed to use it. And the point of it is that, like, you attack really fast, and if you get hit, when you attack back after you get hit, you have a chance to regain the health that you lost. So the game rewards you for, like, standing up to enemies and getting in their grills and shooting them and taking them out. And
it seems to be a lot more aggressive of a game.
Oh, yeah. But
there's like a parry system, I know, in it too, right?
Yeah. The thing with Dark Souls is that it can...
Best game ever.
Yes, it can facilitate a lot of different play styles. So if you want to be a tank, you can be a tank. If you want to be a quick, nimble fighter and rely on parrying, you can. Bloodborne focuses much more on the faster combat. So if you're not good at parrying, you're going to have a bad time. parrying works a little differently because your gun isn't for dealing damage. Like, it does some damage, but it's not really that powerful. What it's for is for parrying and setting up for these really powerful super strikes, or they're called visceral strikes. And so, like, right when a bad guy is right about to hit you, you pull the trigger of that gun, and then down on their knee, and you hear this little ding, and then you walk right up to the front of them, you hit the R1 button, and you can either kill them in one hit or do a huge amount of damage. And it's like, it's really hard to learn, but once you get it, it's super rewarding, and it's one of those things that, like everything else about these games, it's really hard for the first 3 to 5 to 10 hours or whatever. But once you get it, once you figure out how the game works, like, you can just mop stuff up. But you can't be lax, because even, like, I'll die to the very first bad guy because I get careless and lose all my souls and, like, curse at the screen. But that's, you know, that's just how it works.
Has anybody else been playing it in here?
I haven't touched it yet.
No.
Nah, I did download it, but I was more concerned with playing the old arcade game port, Matt Mania, which came out this week. 1985's Matt Mania. Never came out on a home console in America. Real exciting. But anyway, so yeah, Bloodborne got a very good review from one Ben Griffin, 4.5 out of 5. He said he would place it between Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2 in levels of quality, just below Dark Souls 1, above Dark Souls 2, and that it's definitely worth checking out if you have not, even if you've never played them before. All right, and then also this week, now, you didn't review Xenoblade, correct, Mr. Roberts?
Right, but I...
But you did play it.
I have been playing it, yes. Yeah.
From what I've read, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D is like, hey, remember how awesome Xenoblade was? It's still that.
Yeah, it's...
On a handheld.
Yeah, they didn't change. Like, the only real addition that they made to it was a collection thing where, like, when you street pass with people or you touch the Shulk amiibo to the system, which, you know, like, good luck if you have one of those. You can get these tokens, which you can use to unlock, like, a jukebox and some statues and stuff. But other than that, it's the same exact game, which is great. It's a great game.
It's a great game. And not a lot of people in America had a chance to play it because it got released in very small quantities, only at GameStop. Like,
yeah.
It was one of those games it seemed like Nintendo of America just wasn't going to release here because it was a super hardcore JRPG, and that didn't seem to be what they wanted to put out on the Wii. But then it got fully localized in Europe, so eventually enough internet pressure, I think, was what got Nintendo of America to bring it over. Now it's just Xenoblade's a regular franchise. Like, I thought we might have to have the same kind of waiting game with a 3D release, and yet it comes out pretty much at the same time here as it did in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. Oh, jeez, Louise. I just said Japan, and it reminded me, I've got to get Dragon Quest Theater Rhythm Dragon Quest just came out in Japan this week. I've got to download it.
Get on that.
Yeah, it's a thing. Probably won't ever come here, but
no, we'll never
I'm just going to hop on my Japanese eShop and download that. I'm going to get right on that. Anyway, yeah, they got a 4.5 out of 5 also, so... And it's only for the new 3DS, so if you're looking for an exclusive thing to lord over your friends who don't have a new 3DS, that's the one to get. I read in interviews with the developers of it. They said, like, they barely got it on the new 3DS. Like, the Wii is still more powerful a system than the new 3DS, but they had to downgrade it just a little bit to get the game to work on there, and it would not work on a regular 3DS.
So it doesn't work on my XL?
Nope.
And so it begins.
Yeah, yep. Like, you have to have the new 3DS, and like the downgraded visuals, they're not bad. It's definitely like, I do wish that they had given it the HD treatment and put it on the Wii U.
It's
a game that just the environments are so varied. It's the kind of game that begs to have that HD treatment and to
on
see it kind of
in a big widescreen screen instead of like on a 4-inch across screen on your in front of your eyes.
But honestly, if I'm being honest, the fact that it's on a portable means I'll actually play it and beat it
because
I can actually take it with me wherever, and it's a long ass game.
That's more how I play JRPGs now too. It's true. All right, and then the thing you did review this week, Mr. Roberts,
is the David show.
I'm very glad we got you Skyped in on this. Is the Borderlands Handsome Collection. Speaking of all these remasters, here's another one.
This freaking year, I like remasters as much as the next guy, but it's the first 3 months
It's too hard to make new games. Like, that's also why it feels so great to get Bloodborne. It's like a new game, like a thing I haven't played before. What? So what's in the Borderlands Handsome Collection?
Okay, so basically, it's probably easier to say what's not in the Borderlands Handsome Collection, and that's Borderlands 1. Everything else. So you get Borderlands 2, all the DLC that they ever released for that, which includes all the stuff from the season pass, the extra characters, the 10 like the extra level cap increases, the additional DLC that they released outside the season pass, including the Headhunter stuff. Plus some like extra stuff like the pre-order bonus, like gearbox guns, which are basically last you to level 2 and then you throw them away. So it's all that. And then you also get Borderlands, the pre-sequel, and all of the DLC released up to and including the stuff that came out this week, which is the Claptastic Voyage and level cap.
That is so funny that within less than 6 months, they just ported the pre-sequel. It should have just been out on both at the same time. It's crazy that it just...
It probably just wasn't ready. A lot of the games, like pre-sequel, a lot of people were, I'm sure, assuming that these new consoles wouldn't take off like they did. And once they saw that, like, holy crap, PS4 sold 10 million units... we got to get games on this thing now. So then they started porting all of these remasters and stuff over to fill time. If you've already played these games to hell on the old consoles, and or like on PC, you're not getting much more than a visual upgrade, and four-player local co-op is exclusive to the Handsome Collection. So like, okay, you can play just like 1999 and get your tiny little boxes on your big screen TV.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are there any like frame rate issues you noticed, or yeah, like, what did you play on?
I played it on Xbox One, and it, like, the only reason why I didn't give it a 4.5 out of 5, like, because, you know, Borderlands is very much one of those take it or leave it series, and this isn't going to convince you if you were not a fan to begin with. I like it pretty well. I'm not like super like people get way into this. I haven't put 250 hours in these games, but I played them enough. Mm-hmm. But like Borderlands 2, they're both handled by two different companies, like the ports were. So Borderlands 2 is handled by Iron Galaxy, and it looks fine. But the frame rate was either like super solid 60 frames a second, or had some bits, like just like kind of an overall choppiness to it, where like it's trying to hit 60, but it's not quite, and you can totally tell. And it's not bad, but it's definitely noticeable. And then the pre-sequel doesn't have the frame rate issues, but there's screen tearing like crazy. So like if you whip the camera around, you'll see the screen just like try to keep up with your camera, and it's issues that did not exist in the previous versions. So hopefully they patch those out, but those are like just a couple issues.
That's worth penalizing, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, like if that stuff doesn't bother you, if you want all the Borderlands, like it's basically the most Borderlands ever in one spot, like $60 is a pretty damn good deal for two huge games.
You gave that a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. Just a quick review cleanup. We got Ride, a motorcycle game I had no idea that existed.
This is not Ride to Hell, nor is it Tony Hawk Ride.
Nope, simply Ride, reviewed by one Justin Tell. He gave it a 3 out of 5. Okay. Yeah, it's all right.
Clap, clap.
Ashley wrote up new reviews for the unscored reviews for episode 2 of Life is Strange and episode 3 of Game of Thrones. I think she liked them, but honestly, without her here to tell us, I can't say. So we'll ask her next week. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break, do the community segment, your answers to the question of the week, and we'll see you real soon. Welcome back, and there's no music today, but it's still the community segment.
On radio, radar,
if it's good. All right. So last week I asked people, what do you think Nintendo should do with mobile? And I may as well plug another thing I wrote.
It's Kenny Omega. We got to check out that now, Kenny Omega feature. It's up on the site.
I posted an editorial about how Nintendo, you know, everybody thinks, oh, Nintendo making mobile apps, that's so weird for them. But, like, it's so similar to what they did 35 years ago when they made Game & Watch machines. Which were like dedicated apps, single screen, very simple controls, and just a straightforward idea of like, these guys are jumping out of a burning building, get them into an ambulance. Like, this guy is a juggler, keep his balls in the air. Or really, the darkest one is one called Vermin, which like, I think they changed the name for America, but it was called Vermin, which really is just like, you're a guy with mallets who is crushing rats. Like rats are running at you from four different directions. But rats are running at you from four different directions, and you're just smashing them with hammers. Like it's so effed up. Read that for my views on what Nintendo should do with mobile. But other than that, also Nintendo should make an Advance Wars mobile game. I mean, come on.
Indeed.
But all right, let's read the answers that we got. My favorite answers from the community here. Johnny2900 wrote, I can see Nintendo making a sequel to WarioWare DIY with a smartphone application. You can also implement social media by sharing games you made with friends in Facebook and Twitter. This won't exactly be hardcore, but with simple minigames that involve a touch or swipe to play, as well as interacting with your friends, it would be a game people would play while on the go.
We've got Andy Esquire here, which I read as Andy Yesquire and thought was really confusing.
I'll also accept that.
Hey, he says, updated versions of the initial NES light gun games were great with touchscreen controls, Wild Gunman, Hogan's Alley, Duck Hunt. These games also had the cool bee games where you could shoot the beer cans or do skeet shooting. I'd pay $5+ for a light gun game compilation that fuses the classic NES sprites with modern design.
Okay, all of those three written on the that he named, which one of those is in Back to the Future 2?
Ooh,
Hogan's Alley.
Skeet shooting.
Nope.
Oh.
That was
it
a Wild Gunman.
It was Wild Gunman because it was setting up for him to go back to the cowboy days because he's shooting the cowboy character. Yes.
It's like a baby's toy.
Exactly. Got to use your hands. It's a baby's toy.
That was a young Elijah Wood who said that.
That's true.
Wow. I got to go back
and see that. Too. You have to watch Back to the Future Part 2 at least once in 2015.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
it's the year.
All right, so Cubanigma says, Yoshi's Touch and Go would be perfect for the mobile market. Using your finger to draw clouds as Yoshi falls down, tapping on the screen to aim the eggs he throws as he walks on them. So, I guess you could have a good time with that.
Yoshi Touch and Go. Yoshi Touch and Go is only worth $3, I'd say. But.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, Robert, why don't you read the next one? Mr. Punishment.
All right, from Punishment. I'll buy anything Punch-Out related, and I actually think that would work well on a touchscreen. Swipe to dogs.
It does say swipe to dogs.
Yeah. Swipe to dogs, tapping head or body for attacks. I'll buy that one in a heartbeat. I just hope it's a brand new game as opposed to adding touch controls to the original Punch-Outs.
Well, that I find that one interesting because Infinity Blade is Punch-Out. Like, it's basically a Punch-Out game, and that seemed like one of those. In the years Nintendo wasn't doing mobile games, I kept seeing all those games like, man, Nintendo would do this awesome, but because Nintendo's not part of mobile, everybody just gets to make what's basically a Nintendo game without having to worry about their competition. So, like, an Infinity Blade probably made more money than any Mario game in the last decade, I bet. All right, and Dave.
This is from October with a K. I probably shell out a couple of bucks for Golf, the one that was originally for the NES. Seeing how Desert Golf became a hugely successful hit recently, Nintendo's Golf could be an endless golf game in the vein with minimal graphics and sound.
I like that. Did you know that it was NES Open Tournament Golf that was the first game that paired Luigi with Daisy, setting off a lot of fan fiction from then on.
Like, oh, boy.
I pick a winner each week, and I'm going to go with Johnny 2900 just because WarioWare is like, duh, WarioWare has got to be the first. They make a WarioWare game every time they make a new thing.
They got to do it.
It's just, I mean, that's a no-brainer. So Johnny 2900, send an email to me. Send an email to radioradar@gamesradar.com. Tell me what systems you've got and all that stuff, and you'll get a little something. All right, so, with all these remaster talks and with so many games that have been remastered, there still are some that are left that have yet to be remastered. So which would you like to see? Get a new gen remaster. I'll go first because this really should have happened already by now. The XCOM games. I want an excuse to replay XCOM Enemy Unknown and Enemy Within. I got Enemy Within and started it up, but then I got the new systems. I was like, yeah, unplug my 360. I don't want to turn it on. I need an excuse to replay them. 2K has been pretty good at, like, they just did the GTA remaster, the GTA 5 port, like, why not have XCOM as well? It has a PC version, so that also makes me think, it just give us a slightly good-looking PC version. Just dump it on those two.
And package them both together, Enemy Within and Enemy Unknown. Make it a double pack.
$30, and it'll last, 200 hours. It'll be great. Yeah. Who's next?
Max?
I want to see like HD remaster, like an updated version of the old Echo the Dolphin game. I think that would look really nice because that game was like, even back then, it was like spooky, kind of pretty.
FPD,
first underwater. Person that's right. that would be a little weird if you're flying around like first person dolphin mode. But I don't know. That game was just like creepy and weird, but also like all the coral and the fish you would see and stuff all looked really nice. And like the big octopus, like how creepy would that look in HD? So yeah, that gets my vote.
I'm going to go with the classic. I feel like Resident Evil 2 should have been...
They should have just jumped straight to 2?
Well, if you want to talk about what they should do, is they did the first remaster. They should just literally remake 2 and 3, remaster 2 and 3, and then throw them in with 4, 5, and 6, and actually give me the collection when you call it the collection.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
that would the be most a recent one.
I think they had to do that the original remake. I think they had to rebuild it from scratch for next gen. So they already went to all that effort of making like that engine and stuff. Like, and also I've heard the remaster did really well. Like, I think they talked up that like, oh, big sales. So I think I could see them doing that.
Was there a second Zero?
Why don't we just have Cap?
Is there a Zero too?
Just don't have them make any new games.
You
anymore.
Don't want, well, yeah. I mean, if they just did, if they did a re-release every year, like then in 6 years, you got a new console, time for Resident Evil 1 again.
Just give me the whole thing.
And you don't want to play Resident Evil 0. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Nobody wants to play that game. It is not good.
Is it canon?
But I think
canon.
It is canon.
It's what
well, it's canon,
the
but it's canon,
Zero,
but nothing fucking happens. Like
it's all on the train. Right?
Yeah, it's Zero was the only like that, and four were the original exclusive things for GameCube. Capcom was making.
Yeah.
Zero was so bad, nobody bothered to port it to another system. Like it's not horrible. It's not horrible, but yeah, it takes place during regular Resident Evil,
right?
And so. Like, it was when, what, his sister? No, the two other members of STARS.
It's Rebecca Chambers and someone else.
And they're stuck in a train.
Oh, yeah, no. With the prisoner and somebody else. I don't know.
Not good. All right, Robert or David?
Robert wants to go first, or should I?
No, David, you can go first.
Okay, well, I don't know. There are a lot, just because I ever since I got the PS4 and Xbox One, I never want to touch my PS3 or my 360. Yeah, like it's so slow and. But I think the one that probably would get the best treatment on next gen would probably be Red Dead Redemption. I would love to play that again, and I've tried to play it again on my PS3, and I'm just like, I don't want to do this. But since that game hasn't even been put on PC, and from what I understand, like, it's basically the code is held together with bailing wire and a prayer. So I doubt we'll get that on PS4, but I always hold out hope.
I hope that's. I don't want to ever see. I don't want to see GTA 6 until they make a new Red Dead. Like I don't want to. Don't bother with a new GTA until you make Red Dead.
What about Agent?
No,
I thought Agent was L.A. Noir, but then they're just like, no, it's a completely different guy. I was like, oh,
yeah,
my bad.
All right, Robert, you got any?
Not off the top of my head.
Come on, just what?
Just think of a classic game.
Say Mega Man.
Cuber. Oh wait, they just did that.
Metal Gear
Mastered Cuber.
Did I hear Metal Gear 3? The game you just talked to? I think that would be good, Robert.
That would be. Yeah.
All right. So tell us in the comments for this week's episode what remaster you'd like to see. We'll read our favorites on the next episode, and you might just win something. All right, so this has been a fun episode. Mr. Roberts definitely got a chance to shine, and we should do this more often. It's not so hard. It's not so hard to set up this.
Yeah, well, I think we've worked out some of the kinks here, and I'm not talking on top of everybody anymore.
Yeah, I think this has been a fun episode, so I think that's about it. Again, hey, read that Kenny Omega piece, guys.
Hey, that Kenny Omega piece, guys. Kenny Omega,
stream Monday through Thursday, 3:30 to
5 p.m. Post it on Facebook over
the
weekend. You can click on it.
Standard time.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega.
Check out all those Twitch streams
we
do every week.
Would he come in?
He lives in Japan.
He splits his time between Tokyo and Winnipeg.
Right.
And he like passes over us.
I remember reading that in the article.
He passes over us all the time, but he has. I told him like, dude, let's hang out when you're in the Bay Area, and he's apparently doesn't have an American visa yet. Like, it's something I forget. I just never think about, like, oh, yeah, Canadian immigrant status. Like, they just can't walk into America.
Yeah, you can't just walk in.
Don't work like that anymore.
All right. But anyway, all right, so we're going to see you next week. Until next time, Radio Radar